Hallelujah.
All right, fam.
Hallelujah. That was fantastic. Thank you, Pemi. That was the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was so fantastic. You know, I was so blessed. And I was so blessed. I hope you listened, and I hope you took down notes, and I hope, you know, you decided to change one or two things, or maybe decided to change 10 things, you know, depending on how your life is, you know. But that's a word that can change your life and your destiny. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I like how the mic is. I don't want to talk too much. All right. So let's quickly go into the word. But before we do that, let me ask a question. Does anybody want to give a testimony? I want to give a testimony. Who else? Listen. Do you want to give a testimony? Okay. Joshua. If you want to give a testimony, raise your hand. Are you raising your hand? Okay. All right. So let's have in the order of who raised their hand first. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So let's allow the three of them to give their testimonies.
Praise God, church.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right. I don't know where to start from, but I'm basically thanking God for last year, like throughout last year, from the beginning of 2023, from January 1st to December 31st. It was a whole lot and a whole lot of experiences for me. I want to thank God for my life. I want to thank God for the life of my family members. While I was in school, I want to thank God for my parents for keeping them. Like a whole lot happened. My dad is asthmatic, so being at home with them while my sisters were away, I know that I was always around to get to help them in that day needed. And traveling and then leaving them alone was not just comfortable at all. You get, so you're always thinking about your parents and all of that, and you don't really always want to call them so that you say, where are you now, and and things like that. So I know that when I was there, I was having fears, you know. Especially when my cousin, my roommate, when her brother died, also my cousin too, when he died in school, we had to go to one of my uncle's place in that Benin. And then sleeping in that place, I was so scared. I was having dreams about my own parents, that kind of thing, for you to be in school and they call you that, oh, something has happened to somebody at home. It was quite scary, you know. And the dreams were feeling very, very real. So I want to thank God for the life of my dad. He, even when I was in school, he had an attack, asthma attack. It doesn't happen often like that, but then it happened, and that was it. It happened in the middle of the night. They couldn't find his inhaler. So I don't even know how they did it, because they didn't want to tell me. He gets. So I want to thank God for saving his life that night. I also want to thank God for his life again too, because at some point I had to come home. When I was coming home last year from school, he was just recovering from serious malaria. I can be really, really scary because they're not too young like that. He gets. So I want to give God glory for that, for their health and for keeping them. Also, I want to Also, I want to thank God for my life. I got into university last year. And God provided for me. Honestly, I did well. He just provided for me. It was just like going to school and, you know, not really having anything with you like that. But I thank God for the teachings that, you know, Pastor Laolu, Pastor Kene, Pizak, Mama D, they've been giving us, and also about faith. You get staying in school, you know, I can't really say I somehow lacked some things, you get, because one way or the other, when food has almost finished like this, my cousin, her big mom or somebody that she knows just call up like, do you guys have food stuff? I would just say, okay, come and carry them, come and take this. Sometimes it's just supernatural provision. We didn't have all the money, but then somehow God provided for. I didn't really have to ask them. A friend of mine introduced me to a lady that was giving me some designs to do, and I was making small money from there in school. So it was really, really beautiful, and it really, really sustained us. And I also want to thank God for that of my sister's life. In that way, I'm just so grateful. And I'm also grateful for the Teens Church too. Like, my heart is just full of gratitude. Praise God.
Praise God. Okay. I want to thank God for last year. Last year was like my best year yet. So I remember the first Saturday of Teen Church when Pastor Laolu gave us like the word of the year, and it was like, we're going to experience wondrous act of God, favor. I wrote it down in my journal, but everything in my head then was that I just want to go to school. Just give me this address of God and everything. So anybody give me like a prophecy, I'll take it. So in my deepest, like what I really wanted was just to go to school and everything. And I want to thank God because the admission came, and then I went to school, and I went through my journal, and I was just so grateful to God because everything that Pastor Laolu said, I experienced it and more. Like, I experienced, you know, Pastor Laolu said, you would experience favor, that like your mouth would be open, you wouldn't know how to, like, you just be so shocked and surprised. And I want to thank God because God provided for me. God sent provisions to me. I don't think there was ever a day in school that I was like stranded. Even before this morning wants to finish, another one will just come. And I just want to thank God. I want to thank God. I want to thank God for my pastors, and yeah, they really helped my life. And again, I want to thank God because I'm just so grateful to God. God did a lot for me last year. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so last year was a year of many tonyonyo. So last year was filled with a lot of ups and downs. I'm just grateful for last year, especially the ending part of last year. So around that time, I quit from my office space for personal reasons. And it was filled with a lot of moments of, how am I going to do it now? Because I had to keep up with the basic, I don't really know how to explain it, but I just had to keep up. My money was not coming in, basically. So towards the ending of last year, I started focusing heavily on freelancing. So I'm thankful for like Abby and then someone else in church that made me see the seriousness in it. And then I got a couple of gigs towards the end. And I got like one gig that was really big. In case like a gig is like work. So that's like the biggest gig I've gotten. Not necessarily because of the money, but because of if I put that gig on my portfolio, I know the jobs that I can get from it. So I think that's basically, and I thank God for life. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Please come on, remind us your age again. How old are you?
Praise God. So I'm 19.
Amen. Amen. You know, the reason why I always, you know, I like your testimony, Joshua. The reason why I like it, you know, is because you're like a pointer to what God is going to do in all our lives, you know. If there's anybody here that is thinking you're too young to make money, you're seeing what God can do, you know. And it's not Yahoo. You understand? It's not Yahoo, it's not drugs, it's not ritual killing. You know. It's God favoring you and God giving you talent, you know. So thank you, Jesus. You know, can we just say thank you, Jesus? Father, we thank you for all these testimonies. We thank you for all that you have done. And we thank you for all that you are going to do this year. We thank you for all the wonders. We thank you for all the admissions that you will give us. We thank you for all the breakthroughs, all the healings, all the deliverances. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all the money that you will bring to us. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Amen. If you're happy to be in church, can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Fantastic. So I'll go into the word now, but let me just quickly announce. So we'll be having we'll be having our 21-day fast. We'll be having our 21-day fast from the from the 8th of January to 28th of January. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the theme of the fast is revival. Don't worry, you can do it. See, I can do it.
I can do it.
Fantastic. We're also going to be joining. The whole team is fasting. Everybody is fasting. It's not like you people are on your own. You get, right? So we're all together. And I'll teach. I'll teach on revival. That's what I'll teach today. And I'll let us know how. We can, you know, do it, right? Because we need to understand what we are trying to do. Why are we fasting for revival? And what are we trying to tell God to do? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Also, Messiah's love is in February. And the theme is Set Me on Fire. Sorry, is the flyer fine?
Yes, fine.
Okay. It's Joshua. It's Joshua that did the flyer. Joshua, I think this year's Summer Academy, you'll be one of our facilitators. I think you have what it takes. You know, some of you have what it takes to be pastors, but you might not know, but, you know. So the team is Set Me on Fire. Ministry would be myself and Toyosi Osemi. So this is just like a teaser flyer. We'll do another one with our pictures. So look forward to that. Also, while we are fasting, we would also be praying towards Messiah's love, right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, so we start here on a very, very powerful note, right? All right, so let's look at what we're going to talk about today. I think I just have like, when am I meant to be done? 45 minutes, Abby? Huh? It's not 2, is it 2:45? Is it 2:45? 2:50, okay. Okay, I'll try and be done on time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you have to look into your word. I ask, O Lord, for open hearts and open ears in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that your word shall come to us and it shall change us and transform us in the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord, let us hear you like never before. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so happy to be in church, you know. Coming to church is a very good thing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The opportunity to be in church, it's a very good thing. All right. So let us go to Acts 2, verse 37. Acts 2, verse 37. Please, I'll be relying on you. Can we go to Amplified? All right. So, in the previous, are we together?
Yes, sir.
All right. In the previous scriptures here, we were. What had happened here was that in Acts chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 2, before this 37. The apostles had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, right, in the upper room. Are we familiar with that story? Okay, cool. If you're not familiar, let me just give a brief explanation. So Jesus had died and resurrected, and then he told the apostles to stay, or he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they stayed in Jerusalem and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit in the upper room or in an upper room. And during the time of the Passover, you know, while many people came to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. And then Peter preached to people because the Holy Spirit coming on them brought people. It was like that was the first time that people had spoken in tongues, right? And so people came, it attracted people, was like, oh, what's happening here? And then, it's good to see you, Israel. And then, have you guys collected your money? You've collected, but you don't have a bank account, or? Okay. Let's give him his money, please, before he carries us to court or something. And, like, one prize, we didn't give him his money. Who was, Juwan was third place, who was second? Have you collected your money? Okay. Late. Okay. So please let's give them their money. Let's give them their money. So this is our reigning Bible quiz champion, Israel. Are people jealous? Clap for him. He tried now. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know those questions on that day, even myself, I was like, eh? What kind of question? But at least they told you where to read, so it's not like they were too wicked, you know. But you guys tried. So when the people came, Peter rose up and preached to people, and it was a very powerful sermon, right? It was a sermon that caused this verse 37 to happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart with remorse and anxiety. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what are we to do? Meaning that, you know that feeling that when you hear the word of God and, that your heart is like, how many of you understand what I'm talking about, right? And, you know, this scripture is very, it explains the kind of season that we are in currently because, I think almost all of us actually participated in SOD or one or two things, right, during December, right? And so, you know, you have that feeling of, how many of you has your feeling of spirituality dropped? You know, say the truth now. You know that feeling that 2 days after SOD, you're waking up on fire, right? It has dropped. Raise your hand. Okay, fantastic. How many of you, is this still there? Okay, wow, that's good. So, you know, you have these times with God when, you know, it's almost like, wow, you know, I can do everything, you know. If Satan should come in, I'll slap him. I don't, you know, I won't even pray. I'll give him physical slap, right? And then after a while, you know, it's like you're back to square one. Hallelujah, right? But that's not going to be a portion in Jesus' name, right? So there is usually that feeling, that actual feeling of an intense time in the presence of God, or an intense season, or an intense experience. Hallelujah, right? And what these apostles, or what the people said in this verse is very, very instructive in the sense that, you know, they had that feeling. You know, so many of us do, you know, we could have just gone for the powerful service and just gone back home. You know, we could have just gone, you know, what are you doing? Okay, I've come, you know, I've cried, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'll just go back home, you know. But what these guys asked was very, very interesting. They said, brothers, what are we to do? Hallelujah. So their response to all that happened, their response to the entire spiritual experience was to now go and say, okay, what are we going to do? So actually, that feeling that is going down is not a bad thing. Amen. Do you get? Because what is meant to happen is that feeling is meant to then make you go ahead and say, okay, now that I've attended SOD, that I feel like I'm the champion of the universe, what am I now going to do? Hallelujah. And so, before going to revival, the first thing is to first understand, right, that, and I think I thought about this when I was talking about how to handle or how to prepare for spiritual seasons or spiritual meetings, right? There's the pre-preparation, there's the meeting, and there's after the meeting, right? Because after the meeting, you have to understand that ultimately, you are who you are because of how you are thinking and what you are doing, right? So when we say that God is changing somebody, what we mean is that God is changing how you think and what you do. Amen. Now, as regards how you think and what you do, you are the one in charge of it. You get, right? That's why it's not sexy. You understand, right? But if you understand how to respond, if you understand how to carry that fire that you got, or even if you didn't get fire, if you understand how to carry your interaction with God and put it in those two places, what am I thinking and what am I going to do? Then you're going to experience what is called revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Yes, sir. So, when we say the word is powerful, when we say there is power in Christ, there is power in the Spirit, what that power is ultimately working towards is to change how we think and what we do. And so you need to go back to normalcy. You know, you can't stay on the mountain forever. Amen. Are we together? From mountain, you have to come back down. You get. Because the power of God, this thing is not, Christianity is not a joke. We're not jokers. We're not just, you know, coming to experience, you know, or we're not just coming to excite ourselves. Our real lives are not here. Our real lives are in our homes. So it makes no point if you are coming for spiritual meetings, but in your house, you're not changing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It makes no sense. For instance, now, you know, it makes no sense now for you to come into a spiritual convocation and your conscience is still not judging you, but you're listening to music that you're not meant to be listening to. Do you get my point? Right? That means you're not changing. What is meant to happen is that you're meant to go into an experience, or you're meant to desire an experience that causes real change from within. How many of us want to change from within? Not everybody. Ah, okay. So those of you that want to change from within, what we're going to talk about now is how do we change? And why are we fasting? You know, what's the place of fasting? What is the place of spiritual exercise in causing that change? If you want me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, when we talk about revival, you see, we tend to use... how many of you have heard of the word revival? Okay, what do you understand by revival? Can we give people the mic? Maybe one or two people. Ife, what do you understand by revival?
Revival is like reviving. Like bringing something back to life. Something that's okay, the way you were the first time. For example, that's a Christian that has given his life to Christ is filled with so much fire, wants to do a lot for God. But then after a long period of time, that energy is no longer there.
Yeah.
Then the person is revived back to that.
Fantastic. Can we clap for any other person? She's correct. But any other person?
I think to me personally, revival is disruption from the norm. Like, if your life is going in a certain way, then when you encounter revival, there's this disruption, and then just...
Fantastic. Can we clap for you? Maybe one more person. You want to... I forgot your name again. What's your name? God's Light. Yeah. Can we clap for God's Light?
She and Joshua, they've said it.
And then repeat what they said.
Okay, sir. Revival in a way doesn't just happen ordinarily. It has this. What word do I use? It has this powerful energy. When something or when someone is being revived, it's not ordinary or it's not just normal. There's a big change. That's all I can put it up. In addition to what they've said.
Okay, fantastic. So revival is not ordinary. That's fantastic. Can we clap for God's Light? That's fantastic. You know, just on a side note, how should I say it? If I need to say it, I'll say it. Okay, so all of you are correct. And one of the most important things, you know, that you need to understand about revival is that it is primarily an us thing, not a D thing. What I mean by that is that it's a personal thing, right? Because, you see, in Christian language, we tend to use revival to encompass lots of times when we say revival, what we mean is a move of the spirit. Meaning, for instance, now if I say there's a revival happening in Ojodu, what people will imagine is that there are many people coming to give their life to Christ, that kind of thing, right? Right. Now the two go hand in hand, but just, and it's not a wrong thing, you get, it's not like a wrong phrase, because you understand what you're trying to say. Right? Because revivals birth movements. You get it? So if you use it as an encompassing term, you are still correct, right? But just for clarity, a revival is not necessarily an external thing. A revival is a personal thing. It's something that God is doing in you or that God is doing in us. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, before this issue happened in Acts 2:37, you know, in this very first day, how many people gave their life to Christ? 3,000. Now, that's powerful salvation stuff, right? But before that happened, that move of the Spirit, the revival first happened in the upper room. Are we together? All right? So it is that revival. What they experienced there was the actual revival. And then what we then saw was that move of the Spirit. So fundamentally, revival is the issue of myself. In other words, it is that I am coming back to life, or that I am coming to life if I wasn't in life before. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 154. I'll just be reading it. We'll just be looking at it. Psalm 119, verse 154. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me and give me life according to the promise of your word. Let's look at verse 25 in this same Psalm 119. My earthly life clings to the dust. Revive and refresh me according to your word. Let's look at verse 107. I am greatly afflicted. Renew and revive me, giving me life, O Lord, according to your word. So you see what I'm talking about, right? That when you're asking God for a revival, is you and God. It's not necessarily, I'm asking God for a revival so that my class can become born again. That's not necessarily what it is. It is, I will look at it in more detail, but fundamental. Are you guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So, but fundamentally, it is you. It's you and God. So it's a personal prayer. God, you revive me, right? Let's look at Psalm 85, verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6. Is the laptop hanging? I said verse 6. Can someone read for us?
Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?
Amen. You can give us a read.
Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you. Psalm 80, verse 18. You can give Aisha to read as well.
Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, we see here that it's about us and me. Are we together? So fundamentally speaking, what we're talking about a revival, we're talking about the person. Why is the person important? You see, you have to understand that God is not going to give up on changing you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Huh? The Holy Spirit is not to be joked with. What I mean by that is, I'm not even trying to say it in a scary way. What I mean by that is that the Holy Spirit is very serious about his job. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit is to consume you totally. Are we together? Are you guys with me? Meaning the job of the Holy Spirit is to ensure that he takes complete hold over your life and over you as a person. And that thing, he's not going to give up. Not only are they not going to give up, they are not going to settle for less. Amen.
Amen.
You see, any fight that you think you won is coming back. Do you get my point? You know, when the Holy Spirit is telling you to do this, you say, they will leave you for a while. Eh? That doesn't mean they've allowed it. That just means that you are there. But maybe in the next 2 years, they will revisit it again. Hallelujah. Right? So, the job of the Holy Spirit is to totally take over you. Right? And that job is relentless. And that's why the nature of the Spirit is a very jealous spirit. The way they described him is that he wars against the flesh. Do you understand? He's like stabbing the flesh, he's killing the flesh, giving the flesh blow, right? Because he takes it very serious. And so, ultimately, the reason why he takes it very serious is because in order for you to flow with God, what I mean by that is that in order for you to experience the goodness of God at a higher level, you have to become pure, in quotes, right? You're like a vessel. Hallelujah. Right? And that vessel, there are impurities in that vessel. Right? But God's idea is that let me clean the inside of the person. And when I clean the inside of the person, the spirit life can flow more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, the focus of Christianity, when we're talking about revival, is you. Is change yourself. Change yourself. Change yourself. Don't be the same person. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, when that change is done, right? When that adjustment is made, you are then called into a higher life in the spirit. Do you get my point? Right? What do I mean by a higher life in the spirit? What I mean is a higher level of joy, for instance. A higher level of peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And those are the things that will power your life. Amen.
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 So the focus is you. The focus is myself. I need to look at, you know, don't look at other people. Which is a strange thing that we do. You know, for instance, as I'm preaching now, you can be thinking about your sister. That, oh, my sister needs revival. No, I'm talking about you. You get my point? I'm talking about you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there's a technology, there's a way. What I want to teach is fasting. Fasting is one of the technology, right? But there's a way to engage God that will cause tremendous change in yourself. Amen.
Amen.
You know, many of us are afraid of inviting God to speak. You know what I'm saying? Right? Many of us are afraid of saying, oh yeah, Jesus, now tell me, what do you really think about me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Cool. Now, why are we afraid of it? Because we don't want self introspection. We don't want to give up moving. You know? They don't want to give up so many things, right? But those things are the things that are hindering the flow of the Spirit. See, I will not hinder the flow of the Spirit.
I will not hinder the flow of the Spirit.
Now let us go to Isaiah 58. I want to read something and show us where fasting comes in this equation. So as I'll be saying, the point is revival, the point is you, the point is changing yourself. As you change yourself, the life of God will flow. Amen.
Amen.
And it's very important that you change yourself early before you start to make money, you know. I don't really want to talk too much about that, but it's just very important that you look in yourself and you see, where does the Holy Spirit want me to change and adjust? Amen. Because, you know, some of us, we don't even know the thing that is worrying us. You know, some of us don't know what is worrying us. Or most of us don't know what is worrying us, actually. Oh, I'll show you. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2. Yet they seek me day by day and delight superficially to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that has done righteousness and has not abandoned, turned away from the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. Wait here. Now, you know, lots of times, you know, why would a human being be angry with God? You know, because, you know, a human being can say, God, I'm looking for you, but he's running away from God. Do you understand? All right? What did I say? You know, there was a point in time people said they are following Jesus. Jesus said, no, it's bread they are following. You get, right? Amen. And typically, you might not know. You know, some of you now, if God were to give you admission now, we'll not see you again. Amen. 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 Didn't I want to people that get admission and just run away from this church? They don't come back again. Do you know there's plenty of people? All these iffy them, they're not that much. You get, they will just get admission, they will just go. They will not come, they won't even come and say thank you. You understand? They will just disappear. You see them in church. Are you not coming on Saturday? Yes. I've gone home. I've gone. Right? So you see, you can say you are seeking God. You can say you are seeking Jesus, you know, but it's superficially. You know? It's superficial. And that's why people get angry. Amen. Amen. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? This is... Amen. Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? So what was happening here was that these people were fasting, but God was not answering their prayer. And they were angry. But that anger was internal. Outside, they were still saying they are seeking Jesus. But they were angry, right? And then God began to tell them, hear this, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find something you desire to do. Hallelujah. And you force your hired servants to walk instead of stopping all work as the law teaches. Amen. Verse 4. The facts are that you fast only for strife and brawling and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You do not fast as you do today to make your voice heard on high. Verse 5. Is a fast such as this what I have chosen? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul? Is it only to bow down his head like a reed? And to make sackcloth and ashes a bed, pretending to have a repentant heart. Do you call this a fast and a day pleasing to the Lord? Now, the issue here is that, remember I told you that it's about the internal, revival is internal, right? But you see, you can, as the Israelites here, you can fast and pray and there is no desire to change. Do you get my point? Right? Meaning that, now there are different reasons for fasting. That's not even what I'm talking about. But the point is that, you can say, I'm seeking God, but in your heart, there is really no desire to change. But you are seeking God, you are seeking God. You can even be coming early to church, but there is no desire to change. Is a fast such as this what I've chosen? So, and then, you know, by the way, this, I don't know, people that just want to be funny, you now use this scripture to say that fasting is not food. That's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is that it's about an internal thing. So that state that you are in, that you are putting yourself in, the point is that you're meant to grieve towards your sins. You're meant to take your heart to a place and try and work out internal change. And we'll see it in verse 6. Rather, is this not the fast which I chose, to undo the bonds of wickedness, to tear the pieces, the ropes of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break apart every enslaving yoke? Verse 7. Hold on, please. Okay, verse 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not to hide yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break out like the dawn. Right? So, when that internal change has happened, right? Then you can then see the light of God, or you can see the newness of God, you can see a new level of life from God. And then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing, restoration, new life will quickly spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you, leading you to peace and prosperity. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Now, you see, so everything that we are saying about fasting, for instance, when we say that if you fast, God will hear you quicker, it's because something internal is happening. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Right? It's because actually there is a journey that you are on with God, and there is now alignment at a higher level. Now, when you seek that alignment with God at a level that it wasn't before, that is when you would then begin to see the benefits of answered prayers, new life, all those kind of things. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Mm.
So the point is not just to say I'm not eating. That's not the point. The point is not just to say I'm engaging in this spiritual exercise. It's an invitation to a real journey with God. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
It's to say that the person after these 21 days, the person after the 21 days is not going to be the same person before we started. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? If you change, God will like you. If you don't change, God's not here. You get my point? All right? So it's not, this Christians, there's no participation trophy. It's not like, oh, you said you came. That's not the way it is. It's that everybody is changing. Everybody is yielding to the demands of the Spirit over our lives, over our hearts. Now, this is what Jesus Christ was referring to in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 16. And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they put on a sad and dismal face, like actors, discoloring their faces with ashes or dirt, so that their fasting may be seen by men. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head, as you normally would, to groom your hair and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You can stop here. Now, do you get why Jesus is saying this thing? Do you understand? You get it, right? So it's the reason why he's saying is internal is because it's about that internal change. You get, right? So it's not about looking like you're a spiritual person. It's not a spiritual activity that, okay, me self, I'm part, right? But rather, it's about a real journey with God. A real journey with God. Hallelujah. And so if there's one thing I want you to know, I don't want you to I want to be very clear that, please, if you don't have any desire to change, please don't start. Because I tell you, you're just going to waste our time. You get, right? Are we together? Are we together? If you don't have a journey, if you don't have a desire to change, be real with yourself. Don't deceive us. And not deceive God. Or don't try and deceive God. You get, right? If you don't have a desire to change, if you think that my life is fine, the way my life is, just add 250K per month, I'm good. You know, if that's how you have concluded your life, well, don't bother. Because again, it's not about participating, but it's about having a real walk with God, a real journey with God. Let me show you something that David said in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Don't worry, today we are not, I'm already somewhat done, Seth. Amen. Now, you see, as you know, it takes the Holy Spirit to know yourself. Huh? Not just the good part of yourself, but the bad part of yourself. Meaning that, like it says in this verse, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Now, what is he saying? It's a prayer. It's not really, God already knows the heart of the person. But what he's praying is that, myself, let me, it's like, do x-ray. So that even me, self, I'll be aware of it. Are we together?
Yes,
"Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Verse 24. "And see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Hallelujah. It's fine. It's fine. Go back to the last. "And see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Amen. So what's David saying here? What he's simply saying is that, God, you know, refine my heart, you know, do like an x-ray on my heart, and let there be true change. Let's bring it to me, you know. God, you know, as I'm going to you in prayer now, I really want, like, an assessment. Is a way you can walk with God. Do you get my point? Right? He's saying, okay, God, you know, as I'm on this journey now, you know, bring it out. He's not just saying, he's not assuming that, you know, he's not assuming that what you don't know will not kill you. No, he knows that there are things in his life that he's not yet living up to. There are standards that he's not yet living up to. You understand what I'm saying? All right. For instance, you know, it's serpentine behavior to be listening to worldly music as a Christian. It's serpentine. It's, you know, you're trying to do God Maradona. Do you know? Because you know, you are listening to lyrics, and you know deep down in your heart that this thing is not right, but you just... You maneuver it. Some people, what they will do is that they will hear the song, but they will be imagining Christian lyrics. Yeah, you know what I'm saying now? You know what I'm saying now? It's like, you know, when you say, "Baby, I love you," you say, "Jesus, I love you." Yeah, that's what some of us do. That's what some of us do. And you see, the reason why you will come to church and they will tell you, "Stop listening," the reason why it's not entering is because, you see, your heart, you don't understand that there's a problem with your heart. So you want to mix it, you know? But then when you walk with God, God will then, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit will then come and say, "Oh yeah, this is what is happening here. Oh yeah. There's grace to change." Whether you cannot fight. You cannot change, or you can decide to stay your way. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Right. So when we fast, we put ourselves in that position where there are various reasons for fasting. There's fasting for breakthrough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all fasting is like, there's fasting for warfare. I want people to die. You get it, right? I'm just bringing out one use of fasting, right? So we go ourselves and we go soberly to God and we say, God, see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Hallelujah. You know, some of us, we are stingy. We don't know we are stingy. Or we know, but we've suppressed the knowledge, you know. Have you ever asked God and said, you know, this money that I really want, why do I want this money? Amen. Amen. Huh? Why do I want this money? You know? This desire in me to make money, is it to do is it to do TikTok while I'm spraying money, or is it really because I really need the money, you know? I really need this oppression that, you know, some of you, even your feeling of oppression is sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Feeling oppressed, that you will see a man that you know this man is a young boy. But then because he's driving a car that you can't drive, you'll now be feeling bad. That means you're a thief like him. It's just that you don't have the liver to do what he's doing. But you're not different. You're not better. Do you understand my point? You get? Right? Some of you, the girls you're looking at is jealousy. Boys are not toasting you. That's why I say all these girls on the road, they're just. Because in you, deep down in your heart, you want boys to toast you. Amen. 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 Now, the nature of the Holy Spirit, they will just be looking at you when you are ready to repent and when you are ready to grow. They will take it out from you. But essentially, when you walk with God, you walk with God in a very rich way. Walking with God is so beautiful because it will change. It will change. And I tell you, and this kind of change here is change that happens, it will go down to the roots in your soul. And if God changes you, you are changed. You get. God can change you and that alcohol, it will just, the desire, the taste, everything. In fact, as you are seeing people, you'll be pitying them. God can change you that way. But you see, it's because we don't engage God like this that we don't experience that level of work from God. All right. So, you guys, you understand what I'm saying, Abby? Cool. So it's about the Holy Spirit taking control over yourself. I tell you, don't be satisfied with where you are with the Holy Ghost. It's wrong. The Holy Spirit can. There's still more. Amen. Amen. Huh? Being a good boy, a good girl is not enough. Yeah. Hallelujah. Huh? There's what home training can do. There's what Holy Spirit can do. The two are different. You get? And if the change that people are seeing in you is what home training could have done, it's good, but don't be satisfied. You get my point, right? Because some of you, if you had better parents, that's the truth, you would not be this crazy. You get? So don't judge that, you know, I've changed. You know? Yeah, you have changed, we thank God, but there's still more. Yeah. Hallelujah. No, there's a topic I'm going to teach this January. Shyness, the silent killer of destinies. You know? Shyness is demonic. You get? I don't see why any Christian should be shy. Amen. So you need to change. You get? And the Holy Spirit needs to bring it to your forefront that, okay, this thing, take it out. Amen. Amen. You know, there's so many. I remember one time like that, always going to, when I was young, you know, always going to one of my friend's house, you know, and, you know, and it was just because I was, you know, I didn't like the fact that we didn't have money. Yeah, so you're going to your rich friend's house, you just abandon your house, you know. Go to your rich friend's house. And you'll just be there, you know. You don't want to go back home. That's very wrong. That's a very, very wrong heart. Amen. Amen. You should be able to manage your one-room apartment in peace. You get, right? So there's so much that God can do in us, right? And so let's not just limit it to don't smoke, don't steal. If that's your level, it's fine. No, don't say one deeper things when you're still struggling with smoking. If that's your level, that's fine, right? But don't just say Christianity is not the thing that once you're a moral person, you think everything has finished. Again, that's not what it is. The heart of man is desperately wicked. There's still so much wickedness in us. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, let me give a testimony. I think I've shared it before, but I forgot it. You know, I remember last year when I was praying for anointing. Not the anointing. I was praying for God to anoint me. Not in case you are wondering. You know, I was praying for anointing, and like, God anoints me. God anoints me. You know, which is good. You should pray for anointing. And you know, it occurred to me that you know, during that fasting period, you know, the Holy Spirit just made it clear to me that, guy, you don't want the anointing. Actually, what you want is the power to make people fall down, which are two different things. Are we together? Because now you have seen men of God on TV, and you say, no, it's good now. It's not good. You know, if I change the service now, if I say, yeah, two people there. You know? And they fall down, you know. People respect me more now. This guy, wow. Man of God, you know. And he told me, he said, look, this is not what you want. If you want anointing, ask for anointing. This one, I don't give this one. And so I had to. You would think it's an easy decision to make. I tell you, it was not easy. I had to say, God, okay, you know what? I'm going to shift like this. You know, no, I never knew I had that kind of nature. You know, I didn't even know. That was not my thinking was I'm praying as a responsible Christian to increase anointing. You know, and then they interrupted the conversation. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's when I started to learn different things. You know, I was telling the undergraduate, I said, look, see, if you cannot hear boring preacher, you're not a serious Christian. You're not a serious Christian. Preaching is God that gives the fire for it. Yes. And God knows, God did not give everybody the fire. Yes. Amen. God did not give everybody the fire for preaching. So God knows that they are boring preacher. God is aware that this person is a boring preacher. This person is not a boring preacher. And God likes it like that. What God is thinking is that if you are serious, you will hear the word of God, whether it's boring, whether it's, you get, right? So God is the one that anoints people. If I come now and say I want to preach like Pizak by force, now when I stunt to performance, acting, you know. Amen. Amen. So, God is still doing a lot. Everybody say, God is still doing a lot.
God is still doing a lot.
God is still doing a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. God is still doing a lot. You get? I'm so happy. You know, when you people fast, you will know yourself. You know, you will know yourself. You get? I'm telling you, you see, those things that look like, you see, It's not about character issues, is that it always looks so trivial, right? It looks trivial. It looks like it's a very small thing. You get? But I tell you the truth, it's not small. Okay? There's a linking between your ability to share food and your destiny. Okay? That nature that you got to eat other people's food. When it's not your food, you're not going to put it in one corner. There's a linking between it and your destiny. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so there's no issue that is small to God. And I tell you the truth, if you make these adjustments, you make these changes, one of the things that you will notice immediately is that the nature of you and the Holy Spirit will change. You'll become more intimate with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Specifically, if you can stop listening to worldly music. Amen.
Amen.
Stop listening to worldly music. If the Holy Spirit can regulate what you watch and what you hear, you get. Right? Amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to do like spiritual thing, but you know, I pray that you would hear what I'm saying. Right? I pray that you hear what I'm saying. Don't play with life. Life is dangerous. I think life is dangerous. Yes, life is dangerous. So I pray that you hear what I'm saying. And so this is the root, this is the source of power. You get, this is the source of power. This is how we become powerful. When you hear man of God, you see, calling. God doesn't call people. When you hear calling, you get, it's not, God doesn't call people to be professionals. You get, Joshua, can you make me water? Pastor, teacher, anoint, apostle, evangelist. What's the last one? Prophet, right? It's not a profession. You get, all right? Or calling in general. It's not like I'm calling you to be a bricklayer. I'm calling you to be a tech guru. So God is not calling you to learn skills. Right? The calling is first to be separate to God. So every man of God is powered by his walk with God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Every man of God is what? By his walk with God. In other words, it's what God is doing in your life that God is doing in your family's life. Are we together? It's what God is doing in your life that he's doing in your class. It's what God is doing in your life that he's doing in your career. You get? It's what God is doing in your life that he's doing in your business. God is not doing anything different. So, when you have the, and that's why the thing to learn from men of God is not the anointing. Don't be moved by people's anointing. Be moved by their personal consecration, their personal prayer, all those kind of things. Those are the things that you see and you try and copy. So you can say, oh, I wish I could pray like this person. That's what you covet. Not preaching. Who preaching help? That's not the thing. You know what I'm saying? So, if you have a rich life, the things around you are going to be rich. And this is the reason why, can we welcome Pastor Lalu? Amen. Can I have a seat? Can I have a seat? Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. And this is the reason why, you know, if you're not trained like this, you would be advancing in life, but you will not be changing. You get, right? You need to change. And that's why whenever you see things that disappoint you, you know, as a leader or something, you might, it's because people didn't change. You know, for instance, when you see a church girl, that'll be, you know, boys can say toaster, you know, those kind of funny things, right? It's because this change did not happen. Are we good?
Yes, sir.
So I said that to say, because, you know, there's somebody here, you have man issue. So please just note that. All right. So what are the instructions, right, for this fast that we are going on now? Now, with this, I'll be done, really. I'm done. I'm just giving us instructions now. So I think it would be wise if we have different ranges for, or different cutoff points for different break points for different age groups, right? I don't impress too. But I just think it would be wise. So for 12 to, if you're going to participate, it's 12 to 13. You can break by 12. Right? Age 14 to 16, you can break by 2 p.m. What happened? People are not happy. Why? I want to break by 12. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. It's not. God forbid. So age 12 to 13, you can break by 12. Age 14 to 16, 2 p.m. 17 and above, 6 p.m. Wow. You know, back in the day, back in the day, I used to be very, I mean, it's not like I'm going to, nobody's monitoring everybody, I'm not monitoring anybody, but I'll just say it as a law. You know, back in the day, I used to be understanding of, I know some people, they'll start fasting for like, in the middle period, they'll just give up. Maybe 2 days before we close, they'll just do, right? They say they're hungry, they're dying or something, you know. And I used to be very lax about it because, I mean, it's not, God will give you strength when you're ready, you know. But now I want you to mentally prepare. You get, I don't want you to give up. You won't die, I tell you the truth. You factually cannot die. You understand? Your body can go at least 2 weeks without food. So that thing is a lie. You can't die. And it's not dry fast. You know, so it's not so those would be the age groups. Now, something that I didn't say, which is very important, is that soberness is very important. Hallelujah. Amen. Please listen to what I'm saying. The way God designed the soul, the default state of the soul is soberness, not excitement. You're not meant to be happy all the time. You're meant to be sober all the time. Right? And then when you're excited, you come back to sober. If you think about it, you tend to misbehave when you're excited. You tend to forget, you know. You understand? Typically, you know that you're not a serious person when on Christmas Day you pray. That's when you know that you're now walking with God. Because of rice, you forget to pray. But it's a level. It's a level. If I used to be there on Christmas Day, I would just, I didn't pray to do. You know, again, right? Now, that's because when excitement is too much, you just throw away God. You just throw everything away. You just focus on the excitement. You get? And that excitement is too much in some of your souls. That's why after SOD, you can go for another meeting. SOD ended on Sunday. They see there's another meeting in Ogba, another camp. You go Monday. You go. You understand what I'm talking about now? It's because the soul is too excited. You understand? You want to party. Even though it's a spiritual meeting, it's still party that is in your soul. So it's very important. That's why I personally don't believe in fasting that doesn't have food in it. I personally don't. I think it's personally. Maybe there's a revelation behind it, but I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. Because food would take away energy. It is that state is the point. Do you understand my point? That state is the point. That state of, hey, I'm dying, is so that you can then think about your life. It's easier to think in that state. Do you get? When you are praying, that's real prayer. You get? If you fast, when you eventually, or all of you by the grace of God, when you eventually start dry fasting, 3 days, you will notice that you don't have energy to be shaking. You get? You just be in your bed, oh Jesus, have mercy. You get? That's prayer. You understand?
Yes, sir.
That's the prayer. You get? You're dead. You're just managing your life. That's how it is. You're not, don't think that people are for 7 days. That's not how people are doing it. It's, your soul will get to its bare essence and you'll be like, God, have mercy. Do you get my point? See, you can pray now and immediately now get answer from God now if your soul is pure. The problem is that there's too much wahala. Do you get my point? So that's the point. It's meant to take you to that place. Also, and that's why I also believe that when you fast, you have to cut away the major distractions from your life. The major distractions from your life are social media, entertainment, TV. Cut it off. Amen. All right? Is it off? It's somehow tough. Thank you for being honest. All right? Now, that's the point. You see? Is it the same sober thing? If you... You see, you can... For instance, let me use lust to explain it. You know, if you stay in your house for 1 week, you don't go out. When you eventually go out, you can be shocked at the way women are on the streets. How many of you guys understand what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm talking about? Because you've conditioned your mind to a point where that knowledge that women are wearing short skirts, it has gone from your mind. But then you now come out into the world, you're now shocked that, hey, what's going on here? Is this human being? What's going on here? Now, when you, the reason for that is because every day you are receiving signals from your environment. As you are just in the environment, there's some environment that lost is just in the environment. There's nothing, even if you're not looking at anything, they're just lost in the environment, right? Now, when you cut off distractions, what happens is that you amplify the voice of the Spirit on your inside. So, day one, it will be tough. Day two, it will be tough. By day three, you will just notice that you are flowing in the Spirit. Amen. So, you put yourself in that place, right? And then you go and pray. You will notice that you'll be getting refreshed better. Even the Bible you are reading, it will make more sense. Amen. So those are the first two instructions, right? Food, also remove distractions. Now, form a consistent schedule of prayer, of time in prayer and the word. It has to be consistent. Now, the reason why you have removed all those distractions is so that the prayer time can increase. Amen. Are we together? So, form a schedule. Sit down. If you want to combine with your friends, people that can hold yourself accountable, combine, hold yourself accountable. I say, we will meet 3 p.m. All right? To pray. 3 to 3:30. And it's not about hours. I'm not saying do 3 hours. That's not what I'm saying. If it's 15 minutes, you can do it. That's perfectly fine. So form a schedule. Spend time with the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Right, and the prayers that you'll be praying are inward prayers. Remember, I told you, is look in me, is change me, is internal. You get, so you say, God, change me, change me, change me to a new person, change me to a new person, change me to a new person. Right, as you pray those prayers, the Holy Spirit will be bringing the things you need to do to your mind. Amen. Amen. Now, when the Holy Spirit is bringing those things, write them down. Are we together? So have a journal of what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Have a journal of what you are reading in the Bible. Praise God. So like I said, if you want to form an accountability group, gather yourself together and say, okay, you can do it as a department, maybe choir. All right, let's gather together. Let's form. If you have one friend, two friends, all right, let's gather together, let's form. So that is easy, all right? If you are hungry, your friend is hungry, it's easier. Suffering shared is easier to go through it. Amen.
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 Amen. And lastly, use spiritual materials, right? So verify, there's a whole lot. In fact, as in, if you have internet, just for this month, just dedicate your internet to, there's a whole lot. There's 21 days, there's SOD, there's SOD UK. You know, there did two SODs in December. Nigeria, SOD UK, you know, there's material. You get, right? So go back to those materials, listen to those materials. Very importantly, it will shock you. There are some of you, when you listen to SOD again, it will shock you. You'll be like, ah, was I there when they said this thing? I can swear that I did not hear this thing. You know, that's how it is. You know, so go back to those materials. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ah, my time has gone on. So, for the month of January, we'll be looking at meetings around this issue of personal change, revival. Looking at different topics. So also come to church, and it will be a very powerful time of prayer, time of change, as we see God's face together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's something else I want to say. And yes, like I said, we'll also be praying for Messiah's love, right? So be praying to God for the program. Messiah's love. Are we good? Is everybody okay? No, you don't need to show it. Is everybody okay? It's an adventure now. Say, I'm on an adventure.
Amen.
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 Amen. This thing, I say remove this thing. This thing, you had better do this thing now. If you don't do this thing now, you know I told you. They will demand it. It's just that back then, it will be a problem that will make you fast. Are we together? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
There will be a problem. You don't want it to be a problem that is making you fast. You understand? So do this one so that your life will be smooth. You get? Because in this life, it's a problem. You understand? Without God, even with God, self, just that a problem will not kill you, but this life is wahala. You understand, right? So, learn these things now. It's a very, very fantastic thing. I tell you the truth, many adults cannot do this thing. You get? And I shouldn't even be judging you with them because they're old people. You are young people. You should have more energy. You understand? Right? All right. Let's say a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this time in your presence. And we ask, O Lord, for strength for everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was speaking in parables earlier, but let me be clear. You know, it's because God loves you, and, you know, we'll always be saying it. But please, I beg you, don't waste your time with men in 2024. I beg you. You know, I shouldn't say I beg you because that is the word of God. It didn't come like that. But let me tell you for a fact, don't waste your time with men in 2024. I'm talking to someone specifically, but I don't have time for that one. So don't waste your time with men in 2024. Amen. I don't know if I've seen that meme, no grief for anybody. I think Pemi mentioned it, you know. It's a very godly meme, no grief for any man. you know, in 2024. I tell you the truth. Amen.
Amen.
That desire is because God has not touched you. You get? If God should touch you, is it, if God can touch you in a way, that, well, it depends on how deep you want to take it, that you can even forget marriage. Men will irritate you. Again, God can touch you like that. It's how deep you want to walk with God. So, don't joke with men. I beg you, men don't have any plans for you. But to break your heart, make you pregnant, give you abortion, that's all. That's what's in the heart of men. And there's no kind man. You get one of the lies. There's no man that loves women. Men don't love women. Women don't love men. Everybody loves themselves. Are we together? Yeah, so nobody loves you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no ladies' man. It's a lie. It gets. When you say ladies' man, it's a lie. He's a ladies' man because of himself. That's his technique. You understand? I'm serious, so I'm giving you this thing for free. There's no ladies' man anywhere. Everybody is selfish. You understand? Everybody loves what is constant. Man loves himself. That's the constant thing. Nobody loves, people don't love other people. Who loves people? Ah, in this Nigeria, everybody loves themselves. All right, so please don't waste your time. There's nothing there, okay? That's why you need to do this thing, so that God can take that thing from your heart, you know? God needs to take, is it, there are certain things, if God has not taken it out yet, it will still be there. You get? That desire for Yahoo, that for Yahoo to be tempting you is a sign that there's something in your heart. God can take it out. You get? God can take it out. You understand? If you are watching all these guys, all these kid guys, you know, I don't want to mention their name, but all these guys that spray money, you know, this December now, a lot of them were online spraying money. If that thing is paining you, God needs to heal your heart. You get? God is, that's not what they use money to do. You get? All right? God needs to heal your heart. And this is how God will heal your heart. So, let's Joshua come and give the announcement. Can we clap for Joshua?